The Buffalo Amateur Radio Repeater Association.
Good evening, it's time for the Bear TechNet. TechNet. Is there any emergency or priority traffic on frequency? Please call Sorry, I'm choking here. Hang on. Call W2EUP.
W2EUP. Here is W2ZZA. Risk your throat.
Yeah, oh, this science has been terrible, Dave. Let's see, let's do the information here and we'll get started. I got you logged in, Dave. Bear TechNet was started as a weekly gathering place for hams in Western New York to discuss technical side of amateur radio. While many on the air nets focus on traffic handling, rag chewing, public service, the TechNet was designed specifically for exchanging ideas, sharing knowledge, and answering questions about the equipment, modes, and innovations in the hobby. Hosted on the Buffalo Amateur Radio Repeater Association Repeaters, the net provides an open forum where hams of all experience levels can check in, learn something new, and share their projects. Over time, the TechNet has covered a wide range of subjects. And because of my coughing, I'm not going to read all that that we've covered. The net runs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's with rotating topics and occasional guest speakers. And each net includes a short topic preamble followed by discussion questions to encourage check-ins and participation. Bear TechNet continues to grow as a resource for hams in Buffalo and beyond, promoting technical learning, experimentation, and fellowship over the airwaves. And our nice, great, mighty 444 repeater tonight. It's just a simple night tonight. It's one of these other open discussion nets that we're going to have, that we've had in the past here. Let me tell you what we're going to do. Amateur radio is a hobby where learning never really stops. Whether someone has been licensed for a few months or several decades, every operator eventually discovers tips, tricks, and lessons that make operating easier, safer, and more enjoyable. Tonight's TechNet topic. So we're going to discuss, you know, something that you learned in amateur radio. Maybe something you didn't know. I certainly learned new stuff almost every day on here. We do have quite a large group of well-versed amateurs, so it's been quite a ride. Okay, we're going to take check-ins. So far I got W2ZZA, and I got Joe, KD2TFB. And if anybody else would like to check into the Wednesday night Bear TechNet, please call our club call, W2EUP. Take check-ins now.
W2EUP. KE2AAC, Andrew and Clarence.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is W2BYJ Mobile. Good evening.
W2EUP. K-A-H-B-Y-U, Roy and Blaisdell.
W2EUP. Good evening, N2LCJ, Tim and Cheek Dwaga.
W2EUP. K-E-2-E-O-R, Bill and Westfall.
W2EUP. K-E-2-B-Y-N, be your neighbor. Joe in Buffalo.
W-2-E-U-P.
K-2-E-U-P, K-C-2-L-E-F, Ray in Gatesville.
W-2-E-U-P. This is K-2-L-E-D. Bob in the town of Tonawanda.
W2EUP. This is Kilo Delta 2 Sierra Golf Yankee, KT2SGY Jason in Eggertsville. And I'm going to be in and out, Rick, but if I have time and I get the kids to sleep, I'll recheck. Thank you.
All right. Not bad call-up. Let me just check here. I didn't get Bill in Westfall. Let's see if Joe got it. Let's see, Joe. Did you get his call? I'm looking for it, Joe.
He's on line 8. I didn't. There was too much static on when he was talking, and his audio was low, so I didn't get it. Please call again, Bill.
His call is KB2TOY, KA8BYU.
Okay, I do know who he is. All right, thank you, Roy. I appreciate that. Okay, let me read back all the calls we had. We've had Dave and Joe, and then we got Andrew, KE2AAC, Thomas, W2BYJ, Roy, KA8BYU, Tim, N2LCJ, Bill, KB2TOY, Joe, KE2BYN, Ray, KC2LEF, Bob, K2LED, Jason in and out, but might be returning, K2SGY. Any other check-ins before we start our little discussion tonight? Please call W2EUP.
K2EUP. KD2HCY. Don Chickawa.
Victor Golf, Quebec. Bob, North Las Vegas.
That's what I was waiting for. W2EUP. AE2FLX.
I think I might have heard Jim in North Carolina in there, too. Were you in there, Jim? W2HDF?
Roger, W2EUP, WV2HDM, Durham.
All right, let's welcome these stations. I've got Don, KE2HCY. I've got Bob, KK7VGQ. Carl, KE2FLX. And Jim in North Carolina, WB2HDM. Our topic is just an easy one tonight. What did you learn in ham radio? What did you find out on here that you might not have known, or maybe on HF or another repeater? So we're just going to open it up. Nice, easy meeting. Sometimes these are fun where we just get more of an open type topic. So I'll turn over to Dave, W2ZZA. Dave, what have you learned in ham radio that maybe you didn't know before? Take it away.
Okay, Rick. W2EUP. The Bear TechNet. Good evening, everyone. W2ZZA, Dave in South Cheektowaga. Sorry for the out of sequence check-in, Rick. I really thought that you handed it out for chickens. Anyway, I'm glad your voice is back. Just for the purposes of being kind, I'm not going to answer the question. I've probably come up. I've had a bad day. One of my grandchildren was being bullied. And I had to help with that, and it always makes me sad. So, back to net control.
Oh, no problem, Dave. I understand. I'm glad you checked in, though. We appreciate it. I'll turn over to my netlogger now, W2TFB. Joe, what have you learned? I know you've learned netlogger in the last year. What else have you learned? Take it away.
Yeah, I've learned netlogger a whole bunch, and oh, golly, I'm trying to find an audio spot where I'm not so... There we go. That's not so terrible. I learned a whole bunch of electronic theory so that I could pass the extra exam. I know more now about resonance and inductance than I ever thought I'd ever learn. I'll just put it that way. One thing I'd like to ask you, Rick, are we taking check-ins via AIM?
Yeah, please do. I have to open the AIM window here.
Yeah, Roger. KD2TFB back to net control then.
Oh, no no problem. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, I see that we got do have a couple on there. I see Mike K1PM, and I also see a KQ4ZAX. So I don't know if they're just mentioning that they're there or if they're checking in, but I see Mike is listening. All right, let's move down the list, and we can always add them if they'd like to join as well. Andrew, what have you learned in ham radio, KE2AAC from W2EUP? Take it away.
Geez, you know, I'm sure there's a lot that I've learned, but not really anything I could put my finger on at this point. I mean, I guess other than the fact that when I got into this, I swore up and down I was going to be doing POTA, driving all up and down, you know, the country, activating park after park after park. Well, what really happened is I got my new radio license, and now I just sit on my butt and talk. You know, sometimes the goal and what actually happens are completely different. KE2AAC.
Yep, very true, very true. Well, I was out of this 25 years, got back in 3 years ago, and there was so much that I had to learn. And some of it I haven't even done. POTA, digital, Echolink, All-Star. We didn't have that when I got out of this. So it's really advanced. Thomas, I know you've learned a lot in the last, 3 years you've been in this. So what have you learned that that you didn't know before? W2BYJ. Take it away, Thomas.
Hey, good evening, Rick, and everybody on net. Yeah, I've learned quite a few things since getting my getting into ham radio a while ago. I think one of the biggest things and one of the most kind of underrated things is just how much RF is flying around out there that, like, you would otherwise be unaware of, and from all sorts of different sources, communications radios, ham radio, broadcast stuff. Obviously, a lot of people know about broadcasts and communications, and then all the little things like geomagnetic stuff and all the little electronics that aren't really supposed to be throwing off RF, but are anyway. It's really interesting to learn about all the different things that are throwing that around. And of course, there's many other things I've learned as being a ham, but that's kind of what comes to mind right now. Back to Matt, W2BYJ.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate it. It's a Wednesday night TechNet. W2EUP is the call. We're going to move on to Roy. Roy's been licensed quite a long time, and so I'm sure he's learned probably so much stuff, right, Roy? Take it away. Your turn.
W2EUP on the net, KA8BYU. Yeah, in 48 years plus, 56 years total in all forms of communications. Yeah, everything from building kits like Keith Kit, Ramsey Electronics, to building antennas, to playing with a nano VNA, and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, I could go on for an hour, but I'll keep it short. Back to you.
The learning just never seems to stop with this. There's always something new to learn. My friend for at least 40 years, I'm going to turn over to N2LCJ. I know he's learned a lot, and you all know about the laboratories. Take it away, Tim.
Hey, good evening, Rick and everybody. N2LCJ. I'm going to impart a piece of advice to all my fellow hams out there, and I hope that a few of you take up the torch on this one. I can probably count the amount of people that really work on radio gear on both my hands and still be able to eat dinner. Suck it up and try, guys. Don't be just an appliance operator. Learn the whys behind what you're doing. Hamfest season is coming up. Buy something busted cheap. You'll learn from it even if you don't know how to fix it. And if you can't fix it, there'll be plenty of people like me to help you. Get you started down the road. You know, all those tables at the Lancaster Club, the Five Below tables, everything tomorrow night is going to be free. Grab something. Take it home. Take it apart. Find out how it works. Try and fix it. You know, my main joy in this hobby is resurrecting these things, getting to learn how they work, and then trying to make them work better. And it'll make you a better operator. And plus, you'll have an actual investment of your sweat equity in your gear, and nothing replaces that. And 2LCJ, back to Matt.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. This is the Wednesday night Baratechnet. W2EUP is the club call. Let's turn it over to Bill, KB2TOY. And Bill, what have you learned in amateur radio? Go ahead. You might want to share with us.
Be off and on for, I don't know, 30 years. Got my ticket in the early 90s. Believe it or not, that was a sequential assignment call sign just before the Vanity program was offered. So that gives you some clue. I was just trying to look up the date. Looks like it's about 93, 94 that they started it. I forget exactly when I got my ticket. Anyways, the one thing that I have learned is to slow down and speak more clearly, especially when leaving a voicemail and leaving my phone number instead of rattling it off rapid fire. Actually, slow down so people have a chance to actually record my phone number as I'm leaving them, as they're picking up their voicemail message, and other reasons for slowing down my speech. So that it's easier to understand. I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned in becoming a ham.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess Buffalo, we all have a habit of talking rather fast. I worked in a call center years ago, and people in Alabama or Louisiana always told me how to slow down. They couldn't understand me. Thank you for that, Bill. Wednesday night Baratechnet, W2EUP. We'll turn it over to JoJo from Buffalo. Be your neighbor. Joe, what have you learned in ham radio?
Well, I haven't learned much. I'm not trying to be funny. I forgot most of what I learned on the test. But while most kids were delivering the Courier Express or Buffalo News, when they were 14, I was dispatching ambulances. So I did that from 14 to 19, and then I was on the ambulance. So I was very comfortable talking on the radio, and I like people, and I met a lot of nice people in all three clubs, and I am very like so many people, but I don't think I've learned anything much, but I have enjoyed the hospitality piece. Well, LCJ is a brainiac in terms of genius and so many others. My gift is more just making coffee and talking to people. So, thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Joe. We're going to move down to Ray, KC2LEF. Ray, what have you learned in ham radio that maybe you didn't know before?
Well, let's see. The biggest thing is patience. While working DX on low bands and people tune up on you when you're working Hawaii, really, but used to bother me. But I've gotten over it. And the last thing that I've learned really fun was programming DMR. That took me about a little bit over a week to figure it out because I was too stupid to ask somebody. Back to Net Control, it's Ray KC2LEF.
Yes, thank you, Ray. I haven't gone into digital because everybody tells me it's a nightmare. I've just been sticking with the analog stuff. That stuff I can make work. Let's turn it over to K2LED. Bob's another one I've known at least 40 years. Go ahead, Bob. What have you learned in ham radio?
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Bob, K2LED. Well, let me start off by we're always learning, and we'll always continue to learn, and I agree with you. I will not go down the digital route. strictly sideband AM or FM. I'm not going to let my computer make contacts. Anyways, I think we're talking about something last night. You know, 40 plus years ago, one of the earliest things I did learn is what a grappling hook would do to someone's station that was jamming other people. And I'll just leave it at that. K2LED, back to net.
Pretty good. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I won't admit to the grappling hook, but I remember those days. Jason's in and out, but Jason, if you get the chance, do a recheck if you'd like to join back in. We're off to Don, KE2HCY. And Don, I know you've only been in AM radio a little bit. What have you learned?
Oh, geez. Hospitality, everybody loves to talk to you, and the way especially they treat each other. From being a stranger and not knowing what's going on, getting on, it still amazes me how everybody treats everybody so nicely, and everything's professional for the most part. You know, everyone's willing to help you, and trust me, be like everybody else. I still have a lot to learn. Back to the net.
Yes, thank you, Don. Appreciate that. Oh, this is a great bunch on this repeater. In Vegas, we've had a lot of fun with, too. We're glad you're able to join in with us. I don't know if all repeaters are as friendly as this one, but this one sure is. And speaking of Vegas, we're going to go out to Bob, KK7BGQ. And Bob, I know you've only been licensed a short period of time. What have you learned in ham radio?
Well, what I learned in ham radio is the 333 rule. And that has to do when it comes to emergencies, to turn your radio on every 3 hours for 3 minutes on the prearranged frequency. If you're using GMRS or something like that, it might be channel 3. And that way, in the case of an emergency, you're not using up all your energy, and you're still able to get any information that's pertinent during the emergency. So that's the biggest thing I learned, was 333 rule. Back to you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. It's the Wednesday night Barrett TechNet. W2EUP is the club call sign. We're going to turn it over to Carl. I heard Carl went to the last lunch that I missed because I had the flu. I heard Carl got a round of applause. You're just popular, Carl. What have you learned in ham radio? Go ahead, Carl. Take it away.
Here and there. I came in with a lot of the basics, so the tech was easy. But, yeah. So... there's a lot more to learn, I know that. So, yeah. But I can't. And what knowledge I. Yeah, KE2FLX 79.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. What will you do without Carl? I'm glad you're into ham radio, Carl. Let's go over to North Carolina and Jim, WB2HDM. I know you've been licensed some time. And you probably learned many things in ham radio. Take it away, Jim.
Hey, Rick, before I give you my topic, tell me if my audio level's okay.
Yeah, continue on. You sound great.
Okay, I'm going to give credit to my Elmer, Bill Gibbons, K2TQC in Syracuse, because after his tower fell down, all he does is run wire... Multi-element wire antennas in trees, but he runs all higher than mine. But he told me to use three levels of strings. So your first level would be a fishing line. Maybe in my case I use a slingshot with a half ounce weight, but any light fishing line would be your first shot if you're going to try to get an antenna up into a tree. Then you go to a Mason's line, which is an intermediate and very low-cost piece of string. And then, of course, you'll finish with your Dacron polyester rope at whatever thickness you want, maybe a quarter inch. And would be helpful if with bungee cords on both ends. And and the feed point. So that worked for me, and it's been up for 3 years, and so far it's working well. Back to net. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jim, for that and your participation down there in North Carolina. Always welcome. Appreciate it. And I know Mike's at work. I don't know if he has a chance to make a comment, but we'll see. We'll turn it over to you, Mike, if you are able to. Go ahead, K1PM from W2EUP. Okay, he's busy working, but it's good that he checked in with us. He's checked in through the AIM window on NetLogger. We're at the bottom of the list, so we'll take any more check-ins. Anybody listening that would like to join the Wednesday night Barra TechNet, call W2EUP.
W2EUP.
W2EUP, Las Vegas.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is WA2HCT, Rick and Kenmore.
W2EUP, this is KB2TOY, Bill at West Falls with additional traffic.
Right, very good. I got Andy, W2AJR, and then I hit Vegas double with Andy, so I'm sorry I didn't catch your call. I don't know if Joe did here. Let's see. Now, the Vegas station, could you come back with your call sign, please?
KB7VGK.
Acknowledge K2AJR KB7VGK, which I think might be Aaron, if I'm right, and Rick WA2HCT, and then we have Bill for a recheck KB2TOY. All right, Andy, what have you learned in ham radio that you may have not known before? Take it away, W2EUP.
Good evening, Rick. Everybody in the net. Well, I've learned that hams are unnaturally motivated by food. And that for some ungodly reason, they all want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to a ham fest. Back to you, Rick.
I know, that's always baffled me. I'm not a morning person. Well, I have been a little bit since I've been retired, but I don't get up too well in the morning. Yeah, I don't understand. I think a ham fest should start at 1 p.m. That's my idea of a ham fest. Thank you, Andy. Let's go out to Vegas now, KB7VGK. And Aaron, take it away. What have you learned in amateur radio?
One thing I've learned in amateur radio is it's very, can become a very expensive hobby. And, you know, as soon as a new radio comes out or, you know, some new gadget, you know, we always want to try and get it. So it can become very expensive. And I've also learned that you can meet a lot of good people out there. KB7VGK, back to net control.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Aaron. W2EUP is the club call for the Wednesday night Barra TechNet. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know why we do it. Hams, we don't have one HT, we have several. We just seem to buy. We have to have it, even though it works the same band. We still have to have that radio. And then on top of all this, they tell us hams are cheap, so I don't know. Let's go out to Rick, WA2HCT. I know you've learned a lot, Rick. What have you learned in ham radio that you might not have known before?
Well, you know, my whole life I've never been into electronics at all. It was my weak point of all of my knowledge. And since I've gotten involved, I can't get enough of it. But I guess if I had to say two things, one is the smartest thing I have ever done is join a club. Met all these wonderful people. The next thing is antennas are everything. Whether it's from HTs to HF, the antenna makes a big difference. Back to you, Rick. Net control. WA2HCT.
Thank you, Rick. Oh, yeah, it's amazing the gain you can get off of an antenna. And there's all different types you can go with. Yes, yeah, it's always something to learn. Let's go over to Bill for the recheck. KB2TOY. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey,
WA2HKS repeater, UHF FM. Field day is always the fourth full weekend in June, the 27th and 28th, I believe. We've done in the past, we'll be holding field day out at the Toll Road repeater site. It's a great location. We got two towers to support a nice wire antenna. We've got options for other antennas. Bring your own supports if you have something interesting you want to try at a great location. Usually we start around, setting up around 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, and operations start at 1 o'clock. And we run for 24 hours, somewhat continuously, depends on how many people are there, how motivated they are to work the radios, or sometimes we find everybody's out sitting around the fire shooting the breeze. So if you want to reach out to me, you can reach me at my call sign, KB2TOY at ARRL.net. If you're interested, let me know. KB2TOY.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I heard you all did summer field day last year. I haven't participated in a summer field day since I got back into this 3 years ago. I did go to the Ronnie winter field day and had a great time. Yeah, it's a great way to get together with other hams and see everybody, and it's always a lot of fun. All right, we're at the bottom of the list again. Is there anybody else who would like to join the Wednesday night Barra TechNet or any rechecks? Please call W2EUP.
KD2TFP, recheck.
W2B, winter.
Okay, I got Joe, KD2TFB for recheck, and Thomas, I'm assuming you wanted to recheck to W2BYJ, correct?
Yep, W2BYJ, recheck.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Go ahead, Joe, KD2TFB from W2EUP.
Well, since Bill mentioned that you learned to speak more slowly at people, it's like, I wonder if you, when you're reading off somebody like a voicemail, do you use Niner, and do you use, you know, the phonetic alphabet, KD2TFB?
KD2TOY. No, actually, I do not use phonetic alphabet or Niner, but I think I'm fairly distinct between 5 and 9. So I've never felt to make that distinction when leaving voicemails, et cetera.
Terrific. Yeah, if you look at the actual phonetic alphabet, too, they say fife as in a flute, right? And tree instead of three. It's one of the finer points of the phonetic alphabet, KD2TFB, back to net control.
Yeah. For some reason, I never took it to heart.
Very good. I don't know if I've ever said Niner. It's interesting. Go ahead, Thomas, W2BYJ with the recheck from W2EUP.
Yep, I just want to kind of echo what Tim said a little bit and encourage people to pick up a project radio and learn how to fix it. It's I owned a soldering iron and regularly used it long before I got my license, but it's definitely been a skill I've improved since getting my license, and it's really nice to be able to fix stuff like that. So I will echo what Tim said and encourage everyone to maybe pick up a project radio or something and learn how to fix it. W2BYJ, back to net.
You know, there's always somebody around that'll give you some advice and help you if you're having trouble. That's the great thing about local hams. You need help with something, they're usually there to help you out. Great. Thank you, Thomas. This is the Wednesday night Barra TechNet. W2EUP is the call. Is there anybody else who'd like to check in? Please come now. It sounds like we probably have exhausted our list here. And does anybody have any comments or anything that you might want to add to tonight's net? Come ahead. Call W2EUP. Hearing anything. Let's see. How many check-ins do we have here, Joe? I gotta look. Looks like we had 20, including me. It's pretty good. I'm glad you all participated. Let me see if I can find my closing statement. I always have trouble finding that. Let's see. Give me a second here. I'll see if I can find it. I don't have the closing statement. Joe, you have the closing statement if you want to read it?
Sure. Before we close this session of the Baron TechNet, I'd like to thank all 19 people that checked in and or participated. Your comments and discussion help make this net a valuable learning experience for all of us. A special thanks to our guests and to those who shared their knowledge this evening. Remember, the TechNet meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Barra system. And each week, we feature a new technical topic for discussion, or in this case, an open forum. We encourage everyone to continue experimenting, asking questions, and sharing your experiences with the amateur radio community. This is Kilo Delta 2 Tango Foxtrot Bravo, also for Kilo Charlie 2 X-Ray Charlie. Net control for tonight's Baron TechNet, now returning the WA2 HKS repeater system back to normal amateur use.
Thank you, Joe, for you changing my call sign. That's all right. It's interesting. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate all the help. KC2 X-ray Delta, actually.
Yep, sorry about that. Little brain fart.
It's okay. I think we all have those.
You were caught off guard by the closing KE2FL.
It was a Freudian slip, KE2AAC.
Probably. Good net. Glad everybody checked in. Sometimes I like those open ones. I'm not too technically inclined, so if I'm net control, you gotta give me an easy topic.
Well, it's even easier when you just serve as net control and then hand it over to another presenter like Greg.
That was interesting. Oh, and Jeremy did a great job last night at the Ronnie meeting. Learned a lot more about Echolink, or some people like to call it Echo Stink, and All-Star.
Well, we'll see how that goes. The little box doing enable me to push some audio over my All-Star node will be coming on Monday, we think.
Ah, very good. Oh, that'll be interesting. I don't know why I can never find this closing statement here for the net. I gotta print this out. I was reading it off my phone, and I couldn't find the ending quick enough.
It's on the same page as the preamble. It's just further down the page.
I just couldn't seem to get there. I don't know. I'm not really much on cell phones anyway, so half the time I don't care for them myself, personally. I know some have their heads buried in them constantly.
Well, where did you open up NetLogger?
I do that on my desktop.
Well, just open a web browser go to the, barra-tech.com site and read it off of there.
Yep, I'll get it set up better. I was rushing around trying to get some dinner and stuff. Well, thank you for reading it, though.
You're quite welcome, sir. Glad to help any way I can.
And who else is listening? I know there's a bunch in here. They just don't want to say nothing, I think.
Yeah, I don't like talking N2ONY.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Oh, you know, finishing up the workday here. Headed home shortly.
Ah, very good, very good. Was it a busy day?
Taxes rolled in, so everybody wants their car fixed.
Oh, yeah, the dreaded tax season. Well, that's good. They're getting refunds. They can get things fixed up.
Yeah, but my clientele, they wait so long, and there's so many problems that a lot of times I tell them it's time for a new car.
Yeah, especially with Buffalo Salt. It causes lots of issues and problems.
Yeah, I've probably turned away, without exaggeration, 30, 40 cars this year for inspection because of rusted out frames.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm amazed that some states don't even do an inspection. I always thought, well, maybe the states with winter months and bad weather and tires and stuff need inspections. But I even read, I don't know, Tennessee not too long back, they just got rid of their inspections on the cars.
Here's my take on vehicle inspections. I think, you know, vehicle inspections are fine only if they're checking for safety issues. Like you said, bad brakes, bald tires, you know, whatever else. The moment they cross the line is when they start doing muffler sniffers and you know, check engine light has to be off in order to pass type things. That's what the problem is.
There's a catch-22 with it. So, as a car enthusiast myself, I also say do whatever you want with your car. The catch is, as a mechanic and understanding everything, these guys that will delete emissions things off of their car, one, because, you know, the diesel trucks would be overweight and you only have to pass safety anyways, and they do a lot of deleted stuff, and, you know, roll coal, all that good stuff. I have a problem with that, even though I'm also, like, do whatever with your car, so.
You know, I think, you know, when we're talking about editing or you know, deleting emissions equipment on vehicles or changing it, you know, the vast majority of people who are going to go out and buy a vehicle are going out to buy a vehicle with the hopes of driving it for a couple years, doing regular maintenance and getting something else. And, you know, I forgot where I was going with it. But yes, I'm a car enthusiast as well. But I think, you know, with the inspections, the vast majority of people who drive cars aren't messing with their emissions equipment, even if they wanted to. People who mess with emissions equipment are such a minority in the grand scheme of things that I don't even think it matters.
It's also true, but because, you know, our state is the way our state is, you know, it takes three people to, oh my God, they did this, so I bet you a lot of people are doing it, so we're going to make emissions even worse. I'm just glad we haven't gone to full California rules. And when we upgraded, was it last year or the year before, we upgraded to the new system for inspections. Rumor had it that they were going to have a tint meter that connected to the computer and a decibel meter for the muffler systems. And thank God they didn't do that, because that would have been brutal for a lot of people.
Well, that's what I mean. That's when, you know, the government crosses the line. Or people can do what I did and register your vehicle in a different state that allows mail-in registration. Like South Dakota, that's what I used. I know the state of Maine does the same thing, but only for trailers. I have a couple friends that register trailers in Maine, because in Maine you can register a trailer and it's a one-time fee. You don't have to keep renewing it.
Comment, W2ZZA.
Yeah, we had a couple people that had, New Hampshire, when they had that anything get the title. So people were buying cars without titles, and then sending a bill of sale into New Hampshire, and New Hampshire was giving them a title from New Hampshire so that they can register it in New York and get a title for it. They stopped that real quick.
Yeah, and hang on one second, Dave. You know, the three states that people register their cars or their trailers or whatever in order to get more leniency on, you know, emissions and, you know, whatever else, it's the state of Montana, it's South Dakota, and it's Maine. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. All of those states seem to be states with very low populations and very few cars compared to other states. In particular, California has the most cars, and New York might be a close second. I don't know, maybe Texas. But that's not what I was going to chime in about. Emission controls are a safety issue. Whether they fail on their own or if they're defeated by the driver or the user of the vehicle, the end result is that the vehicle will emit more poisonous gases that affects you, your family, your friends, your family and friends, children, etc., etc. That's why we have emission controls.
No, I don't know about that, because you open up the books and you look at a recent modern history. All these scientists have been saying that, oh, we keep putting CO2 in the atmosphere and everybody's going to die and planet Earth is going to spontaneously combust. And they've been saying that for decades, and it hasn't happened yet.
Didn't say I was going to debate the issue. I just said that that's why it exists. Emission controls exist for the safety of the people that breathe the air. That's why they were written into the law. You want to debate whether they're affecting the air or not, that's another issue altogether that I don't want to get involved in.
Side note, ZZA, beautiful audio as always.
And I hate to tell you, but yours is down in the mud, way down in the mud, barely moving the line on the oscilloscope.
Yeah, I'm in a Faraday cage currently, but I appreciate it.
I just thought I'd jump in and throw my two cents in about my understanding of why emissions controls exist on vehicles. Because at the time, and still to this day, many people are actually concerned about the air.
Right, but I think they shouldn't be going after people that want to modify their cars. See, what they should do is the law should state that all the cars that are sold need to come from the factory with emissions equipment. But beyond that, it shouldn't matter to anybody.
Well, that's also why California has so many issues, you know, state reffing cars here and there and all this other stuff. So if a car comes from the factory, let's say a Challenger or the newer BMWs or anything, that have a track mode in them where you can transfer, you know, you can get higher RPMs, launch ratio, all that good stuff. If you use that in California, even though you bought that car factory that can do that, California will state ref you and will make you pay to have those items removed from that car, or you can't drive it in that state.
That is such overstepping. I don't know.
I have friends in Arizona that own a couple shops, high-performance shops, and they overstep so much that when they go into California that they state ref those cars that are coming into California. Now, they don't necessarily get away with it the first or second time, but because the courts actually give them warnings that if those drivers come back in with the same type of car or the same car, that California has a right to take that car from them, even though it's registered in Arizona.
California's got to collect their money one way or another.